T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
You want to jump in there, Dibs?
No, it's just the JTA factor. I mean, Draymond Green is a unique force at, well, they say 6'6". I don't know how tall he is. When you see him up close and personal, he looks closer to 6'4", but that is even greater testimony to how good he is defensively, because he's too quick for Zion, and he's strong enough to where Zion can't just grown man him.
The force is strong in this one.
Is.
And he blocked him a couple times too, Dre did. I mean, how many times do you see that happen to Zion?
Let's get Robert in here from San Jose. Give Goo's got a backer. Goo's got a supporter right here. What's up, man?
Thanks for taking my call, Steiny. As far as Terry Bradshaw is concerned, this is a guy that had two Hall of Fame receivers, a Hall of Fame running back, and a Hall of Fame defense opposite him. Shut up. You had a good front office that knew how to draft and knew who to draft. So for him to talk is just ridiculous. Green Bay has never drafted a first-round position player in the entirety of Aaron Rodgers' career. That's just absolutely ridiculous. And I'm wondering if some of these old guard quarterbacks like Terry Bradshaw are a little upset that some of these NFL quarterbacks are starting to go the way of NBA superstars. Steiny, I think you said something about Steph Curry. I know Bob Myers. That's why I heard Bob Myers on your airwaves say they consult Steph Curry about what direction they're going to go. And that's what Aaron Rodgers is ultimately talking about, is, hey, I'm the man. I'm the Steph Curry of this team. You take me off this team, this is a last-place team. I deserve that kind of consideration when I am the man and nobody else is really there. And in terms of a great shot, Garfield Hurd against Phoenix, I believe it was 75, if I'm not mistaken, somewhere 74, 75, to send the game into triple overtime was a great shot from my childhood.
You want to hear it?
Yes.
Let's hear it. Thanks for the call.
Start when it's touched. Havlicek touches it. It begins. 3 seconds. Hondo off the glass. He's got it with a second. John Havlicek won it. It's over.
No, no, 2 seconds to go.
The Boston Celtics, but the clock should have run out. Or did it have two?
There were 2 seconds to go in this basketball game, Brent. The ball went in with 2 seconds to go, and the clock has to stop on a made basket.
Won't start until it's touched. They'll have to throw it up.
Garhurd, turnaround, shot in the air.
Oh!
It's good. It's tied again.
Unbelievable.
I don't believe it. Garfield Hurd at the buzzer. Threw one in outside. We've got a third overtime in a Boston Garden.
Man, that
Brent
was the great
Musburger.
Rick. And Rick Barry. That was Rick Barry.
Wow.
Absolutely. Yeah. And if you don't, we had to skip some stuff in that. So Havlicek hits a shot with 1 second left, and the fans storm the court. And in the court, and as the fans are storming the court, the official, Mendy Rudolph, got punched by a fan. It took him a while. They had to get the court cleared finally.
What?
And then the Suns inbound at half, and Garfield Hurd made just an incredible turnaround, went to a third overtime. And the Celtics eventually won the game because so many players had fouled out. But that was when Phoenix had Paul Westphal, who had been a Celtic. Good call there by Roger. By Roger.
Wow, man.
Yeah.
Garhurd.
If you guys called me over, Dibs, and said, hey, Goo, we want to listen to some old great calls, whatever sport you want to come over, I'm there, man.
It's fun, and I like doing these segments with Steiny because he's got a good sense of the old classics. You know, he obviously knows a ton about modern NBA, but when it comes to 1970s, he pulled out Doug Collins from 72 in the Munich games, and I remember that more from the stories after the fact, but it's a classic, and the Gar Hurd moment. These are just unbelievable pulls, and you goo with the Magic Johnson with the baby skyhook. It's nice to remind these whippersnappers that there was more action before a Kyrie dagger.
Mm. And the one, I think we did something like this maybe a year or so ago, and I brought this one up, and I don't know if it was poo-pooed, but I think it was 1984. I should have told Spadone that I was going to do this, but it was an NBA All-Star game, and Rolando Blackman got fouled with no time on the clock, and he had two foul shots after time expired, and he had to make both to tie the game. And so he's at the free throw line, but there's nobody lined up because the game's technically – the game's over, and he made them both. And I was like, you know what? I get it. It's an All-Star game, but that's clutch, man. That was clutch. And, you know, I get how you'd say, well, it's an All-Star game. And I look at it from the other side saying, yeah, it's an All-Star game. You're out there with the 24 best players on the planet, and you got to make two foul shots to send it into overtime. And he ended up doing it. So that's one that I always remember in terms of big shots. But I guess they all must answer.
That was back when the All-Star game mattered to players. And luckily it seems to matter again with the new format. With, what do they call it, the Nash ending or – I'm not even.
What is that thing called? The
Elam ending.
The That's Elam right. ending. I knew it was a four.
We saw Anthony Davis make
athlete.
Free throws a couple years ago, Dibs, to kind of win it for the.
Yeah, and as much as I respect you, Steiny, and the free throw itself, I have a hard time putting a free throw among the greatest shots of all time in a live action scenario.
Yeah, you mean like. Oh, I got you. So you're down on the Doug Collins ones too.
I like the nostalgic feel of it and the fact that they lost the game. And granted, the reason they lost was an absolute geopolitical joke. It's only because, you know, if that Olympics was 4 years later in Montreal, there's no way that happens. But it was the Russian influence in an Olympics in Germany, not in West Germany. So it was not a unified Germany. So that was the ultimate road spot. And, you know, the Americans never accepted their silver medals, nor should they. Doug Collins to this day, he won't even talk about it. And we're coming up on 50 years since that. So the moment itself has great gravity. But again, I mean, and that free throw, if you want to talk about Mount Free Throw more, those free throws might be on the Mount Rushmore free throws after he gets absolutely massacred and he needs them both and he gets them both.
Yeah, and man, there's a documentary about that game, and it is fascinating. They break down, I mean, basically what happened, it's too
Hank Iba is what happened. Hank Iba, the coach at Iowa State, insisted they play this slow-down tempo goo, which played right into the Russians' hands. And so the game should have never been 50-49 at that point. It should have been 82-60 if he would have just let the boys play. But Hank Iba, I'm from the old school, 10 passes and then a layup or else.
Yeah.
The Pike.
Exactly right. Exactly right. Exactly right.
Here I go. This is my real quick study. It's my second one. We got 53 minutes left, and I feel like if I don't do this now, this shot will not get talked about, and it means so much to your boy. But it's the Jordan shot over Craig Elo. Would any of you two have brought that up if I hadn't just now? That's iconic,
wouldn't
man.
Have.
The hang time.
I mean, it's a great shot. I'm not saying it's not a great shot. I probably would have slipped my mind a little bit.
How about you, Dibs?
The funny thing
I might have, but that came at the tail end of, what did he have that night, 52 or 54? He had a monster game. So the fact that he had such a great game, I think, is the icing
playoffs
on the cake.
Playoffs, too, though.
It was early round playoffs. You know, you talked about Kyrie, and we've talked about Big Shot Bob and, you know, Steve Kerr winning the NBA Finals. They knocked off the Cavaliers. I mean, shout out Brad Doherty and Mark Price, but, you know, that wasn't necessarily, you know, LeBron's Cavs.
I think it was a game five. It was all or nothing in that game. It was tight. Mm-hmm. Let's take a listen to it.
The inbounds pass comes into Jordan. Here's Michael at the foul line. A shot on Elo. Good! The Bulls win it! They win it! Set the Cleveland Cavaliers!
Michael Jordan hits it at the foul line. 101-100.
You know, the thing I remember about that is he jumped higher celebrating the shot than he did on the shot. He had a hang in the air on the shot, actually. Elo went by him. That
and
was a great
shot. The fist pump was the hardest right hand thrown since Muhammad Ali knocked out Joe Frazier. The fist, the double fist pump, because the first pump was just pure adrenaline. After he jumps 50 inches in the air, and then it's the big adrenaline pump, and then it's the second pump after, like, feel that, Cleveland. Feel that down done.
Yeah, that was
you
on
know
the road,
random.
Too.
Steiny, was that what did they call Cleveland's arena? Was that Richfield Coliseum?
I think so at the time.
I think so.
That's where they. I don't know. But I was like, what was the name of that venue? But
it was Richfield. Great, you're right about that. I don't know if that was exact, but that's definitely where they played.
Higher on the celebration. That's good.
We're talking about great shots, all time great shots in honor of Luke Skywalker. Who hit a big shot, according to my partners, in one of the greatest, what is it, movie series? Is that what we call it? A movie series, the Star Wars series? Or
it's more than a series. It's a whole week, if you were to try to catch up on it, quite
it's
frankly.
Lifestyle.
Yeah, it's not
a big
one
difference,
piece.
Bro.
It's a big difference. It's not just a quaint little trilogy like, you know, The Hobbit. Okay, good. The Desolation of Smaug. Nice little trilogy. This is a vehicle. This is a... It's not even a generation. This is multi-generational. And for you to try to start over and to really pour through it, that's a big deal, bro. It's a whole week.
I got you.
Good stuff, man.
How about this one? It's not a pro game, but it's probably one of the most recent. How about this year's Final Four? Jalen Suggs, Gonzaga. Take a listen.
Juzang. Again with the ball in his hands. In the paint. Floater. Short. Got it back. Ties it with three. Gonzaga has time to do something. Suggs for the win. Oh, yes. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. The perfect season remains on go.
Then he jumped up on the scorer's table and celebrated.
That's a great shot. And, you know, unlike, actually very much like Luke Skywalker's shot, which did destroy the Death Star, well... By the next movie, the Death Star was being built again. Gonzaga, two nights later, faced Baylor. And, well, this time Baylor said, Gonzaga, I am your father.
No!
I'm afraid so, Jalen.
No!
Y'all got overmatched in that national final. But, hey, we'll always have the semi. No!
That's true.
It's a trap.
All right.
It was a full court
great
trap.
Stuff. Great stuff. I'll tell you what, these highlights – are getting me so wound up. I may watch Star Wars. How about that?
What order are you going to go in? Yeah, that's a great question, Kyle.
I would go Star Wars first.
Well, here's the thing, Stanny. In 888.
What are you laughing at? Hey, Kyle.
I would go Star Wars first.
No, that's what he means is he would go in the order funny. In which they were made. Because
shame
it's
on
great.
You.
The curiosity, Stanny, is that Star Wars was the first one made, but it's the fourth in the chronological sequence of time. So there's a big debate over, do you watch them in the order in which they were made, or do you watch them one through, well, it's 1 through 9, but then you'd squeeze in 4.5, and you'd squeeze 3.5, or whatever ones fit in there.
Okay, so it's a little like Pulp Fiction, where when Travolta dies, you're like, I'm bummed out, he's the best character, but then they flash, the rest of the movie was a flashback to before.
Yeah. It's kind of more like The Godfather, where Godfather 2, which came after Godfather, contains scenes that happen chronologically before those things that happened in Godfather 1. So you could actually watch Godfather 1 through 3 in chronological order. So you watch parts of 2, and then it skips to 1, and then it skips back to 2. That's kind of what this is with Star Wars. Am I right, Kyle?
Yeah, a little bit. There's actually one order. It's called the Machete Order, I think, where you go you go New Hope, which is episode 4, and then you do I'm blanking on episode 5.
Okay,
Empire.
You want to think about it. Over the bridge. I can see Nahegan coming in right now.
Oh my God. Shazzy'll know this. He does
Hang
the
in there,
Wars.
Kyle. Hang in there.
Coming up on the other side. We're going to get the order right of Star Wars. Also, we're going to take
Joke
a look.
Artist.
We're going to take a look back at the San Francisco 49ers draft. but not like you think we're gonna. That's what's coming up on 95.7 The Game.
I find your lack of...
Now, back to Steiny, Guru, and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
All right. We're having some fun today. Playing along with the Star Wars theme in honor of Luke Skywalker, who's one for one when it comes to big shots. We've been playing some great shots in basketball history. And real quick, hey, Spadone, did you get my three that I put in the chat, and will we be able to get to them? And the reason I'm asking is because I want to give credit to the text line for those three, a couple that I hadn't thought of. Should we wait to play those?
Stay tuned.
See if we can get them.
Okay. Put it in the chat.
Cool. Yeah, I want to give the text line a bunch of credit for some of these, but I also want to have the highlight ready. So Joe's gonna get the highlights ready, or the big shots ready. And
good job, Spadone.
Yeah, Spadone's on fire today. 2.5. I'll give 2.5.
You got 2 ones from the boys. I gave you 4, Goo. I liked it. I laughed. Yeah, I cried.
I know the committee's hard.
Maybe
on
we should
Goo.
Tell the listener that when anybody does an imitation.
Right.
How many 5 crieds is the best?
Correct.
Yeah, and that's right.
Yes, sir.
Usually it's 1 to 5. Very rarely will someone get a 0 because, you know, if I can quote Fast Times, it's really hard being up here doing something that you know people are going to make fun of. It's tough to do an impersonation. Hashtag Spirit Bunnies.
That was a part of Fast Times?
Yeah, I remember they're doing the rally and they're like, oh, right. We're going to destroy Lincoln, right? Yeah. And then you see that paper airplane come flying
Whitaker.
From the back row. Yeah. And the poor Spirit Bunny looks and goes, you know, it's really hard being up here doing things that you know people are going to make fun of.
That's a classic. Yeah.
That's why we don't give each other 0 crieds, because it's hard, you know. Yeah. Goo is trying to do his nice jobs, but down. And it's, right. You know.
And we always give plus 1 to the callers, Dibs. Always plus 1 to the callers.
Always, callers get an extra cried automatically. So even if you stink, you're getting 2 crieds, callers.
Yeah. Let the
record reflect. With a curve, yeah.
I've seen a couple of movies we've talked about today. Fast Times, Silence of the Lambs. Hey, let's do Guru's Lock of the Day.
It's time for Guru's Lock of the Day.
Lock the lady tonight.
Oh, yeah, we like that, Nelly. Yeah. Guru's Lock of the Day is brought to you by BetQL. Baseball is back. Basketball teams are battling for playoff spots, including your Golden State Warriors, who face the Pelicans tonight in a huge game. 5 o'clock tip, 3:30 coverage starts with Warriors Live right here on 95.7 The Game. BetQL can help you bet on all of that. BetQL analyzes every bet from every game to find you the most profitable betting opportunities. It's time to get better at betting. Visit BetQL.com and use promo code BAY for 20% off. That's 20% off with promo code BAY, B-A-Y, at BetQL.com. Well, we know the Guru loves his baseball and he knows his Pirates better than anybody. He took the Padres -1.5 against Pittsburgh last night. Here's how that one went down.
Fly ball towards the gap in right center field. That is going to get down to the track of the wall. Myers coming in. Nola to second with an RBI double, and the Padres take a 2-0 lead.
And thanks to Don Orsillo on Bally Sports San Diego, that Austin Nola double was just one of 3 hits for the Dads, but it made it a 2-0 game, and that was the final. They cover the 1.5 run line. Goo is up to 2 in a row, a big 2-game win streak for Goo. I originally had 4, but then I remembered that we had the mix-up on the one.
Yep.
It's back-to-back. But overall this season, Goo, you're back above that 500 mark. You're 26, 25, and 2.
I love it. And I got to say this, guys. I'm watching that game, Stoddy. The Pirate pitcher's throwing a no-hitter. He's throwing a no-no. And I'm like, are you kidding me today? I pick him to lose. This dude's going to toss a no-no. But faith was restored. Padres win by 2, and I got it.
Got a baby, Goo.
Juice. Going for 3 in a row. The pick is in. This is a trap, but I'm going to enter it, and it won't be the first time in my life that I've entered the trap.
It's a trap.
The Warriors are plus 105 on a back-to-back against Memphis, and this is more about Memphis. They just don't play the right way. They don't know what they're trying to do.
Pelicans.
And I think the Warriors are getting hot. Excuse me, Pelicans. I think the Warriors are getting hot at the right time, and it's plus 105. So bet 100, you win $105 on the Warriors. That's a bit odd, but the play is Warriors plus 105. Going for three in a row.
I like that. So all they have to do is win the game there?
Win the game and you get money. Yeah.
It's a Herm Edwards special. You bet to win the game.
Goo, I don't know if
hello,
jinx you here, but I like that.
You play to win the game.
I mean, man.
Hello?
They're done.
They just watch each other. They don't cut. They just watch each other. Oh, your turn, Dibs. Your turn, Steiny. I don't like that, man. And something's wrong, man. I don't like Brandon Ingram's body language.
Sleepy.
He just seems like he's out of it.
Sleepy. Yeah. He's like Sleepy of the Seven Dwarfs. Mm. No, he's borderline catatonic at times. Out on the floor.
You Please can't spell explain. Catatonic without cat, Steiny.
Oh, I got you.
I put the cat. Steiny. Thank you. I'm over here doing chess and, you know, you're playing a little checkers. But Goo currently down 1.5 units, so this would be a big one for you.
Yeah. If
you, you know, a win here puts you only down 0.5 units, so you're crawling back, Goo.
Yeah.
You've shaken off COVID. You shook off the return of Steiny, and now you're back into a little bit of a groove.
There we go.
I'm not crazy about the way you set that up, but we can absolutely positively move on.
Well, he was 4-1 with JD, and then when you returned, he immediately hit the skids, and subsequent to that, he's now started to dig himself out. So I know you're a big numbers guy.
Dubs.
I just wanted to put the numbers on it. Back to
that's
Wiggins.
That's a problem.
That's a solid
My
three.
Wife's killing
three.
Me for the predecessor. I apologize, Steiny. He had to tell you two times. I'm like, damn. How did she do it? It was good energy. But, yeah, he corrected me. I appreciate the love.
I feel like a horse's ass when I do that. I don't like to do that.
No, we have to do that.
Okay.
Yeah.
We
got
to hold each other accountable.
Well, why didn't you do it, Dibs?
Because, you know.
He might not have been listening.
My parents weren't both English teachers. Boom. Call that a walk-off right there. My dad delivered industrial linens, and my mom was an administrator at a high school. So,
wow.
Yeah. Dwayne worked hard,
okay,
dude.
Dibs.
Yeah, Dwayne worked his butt off.
R.I.P.
Missed one day. Great. One day of work in 40 years. Broke his foot, wow. Steiny. Went to work with a broken foot, of course. Cause
that's crazy.
Right.
I mean, give me a sniffle, I'm out 3 to 5, but... He broke his foot, and he went to work, and then it hurt the next day, and he realized, I probably should go to the doctor. I think I might have broken my foot.
The force is strong in this one.
Very strong, Spadone.
Dibs, if you want to talk about, it's that, you know what? It's that old school, I mean, honestly, it's that old school toughness that actually gets you beat sometimes. I don't want to turn serious here, but you know about my dad's aneurysm that he... That he let linger, and I'll just wait, I'll wait, I'll wait. And, yeah, Mr. Tough, you know, you want to be tough, but you also got to be smart.
Yeah.
Hey, Dibs, the NFL draft, you had a great idea here, I thought. Would you mind explaining it to the listener?
I'd love to, Steiny, because to me, maybe it's because I've been doing this so long, but
please explain.
I try to avoid what I consider to be low-hanging fruit radio, which is let's give out the grades to the draft, the Niners draft. What do you give it? Give them a grade. Well, how do you grade a draft before a player has even donned his jersey, other than ceremonially at a press conference? So I thought, let's grade the draft, not this draft, but let's grade the 2017 draft for the San Francisco 49ers, because now we can look at what Lynch and Shanahan did 4 years ago and maybe compare it to what they did 4 days ago. So I thought we would take a look at the 2017 draft through the eyes of the 2021 draft. Does that sound good?
I like it. I like it a lot.
What I did, Goo, is I went back to the 2017 draft, and I thought, what if you just redrafted the Niners picks? Not the whole draft, but just the players the 49ers took. And that's the draft of Solomon Thomas, Reuben Foster, Akello Weatherspoon, C.J. Beathard, Joe Williams, George Kittle, Trent Taylor, DJ Jones, Pita Tuamanapanapanapanapanu. I think I had that close. Go ahead and correct me, Steiny, Captain Syntax, if you know it. And
Adrian Samoan or Hawaiian. I'm
P to T, they call him. I could have gone with P to T, but I thought I'd roll the dice. Kyle, your thoughts?
Taumoi Penu, I believe, is how that's pronounced.
And there's another Anu 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 in there, the way I was taught to pronounce it. There's a couple want to get away. Right. And then Adrian Colbert. So if you redrafted that draft, you obviously would take George Kittle as the first Niner taken. Trey Lance, the first pick, George Kittle. What if you got Trey Lance to have a George Kittle-esque start to his career, Steiny? How would you feel about that?
I'd be great. That would be absolutely great. Because you're telling me, Dibs, by year four, or actually by year three, he's in the conversation for the best at his position in the entire league. And that's what Kittle is, I think, at tight end, you know, whether it's him or Kelsey or, you know, a couple others. Who's that guy for the Raiders who ain't bad? There it goes.
Come on.
I just wanted to get Spadoni in here. I would take that in a New York second.
Oh, hell yes for me. I mean, that's a grand slam, not a home run, grand slam. We're talking about the quarterback position, and you look at Kittle, like Steiny said, top three, wherever you want to slot him. He could be number one for you. But, man, if Trey Lance has that type of trajectory, I mean, this dude – is headed to the Hall of Fame. That's where Kittle's going, and that's where Lance would be going as a quarterback. So I got to imagine Super Bowls in your future.
Yeah, I mean, think about that, Kyle, in terms of 4 years of Trey Lance. If he shows that sort of level of being a difference maker, how thrilled would Lynch and Shanahan be at a much more important position?
Yeah, I think that's a home run for them. I think if that's the case in 4 years, we're talking another extension for both guys.
That's the kind of heady territory you would think about. Now, I was looking at who would go second in that 2017 49er draft, and here's where we lean on Kyle and his great expertise. It probably wouldn't be Solomon Thomas or Reuben Foster, but what do you think, Kyle, the second pick you would take just among the Niner draft picks? Would it be DJ Jones, Akilah Weatherspoon, or Adrian Colbert?
I think they're probably going DJ Jones because DJ Jones is still around and a starter and a pretty good player at his position. So I'm guessing DJ Jones probably goes second behind Kittle.
So 44 games, Steiny, for DJ Jones. And in this draft, the Niners took Aaron Banks, the guard out of Notre Dame, who he may have a chance to start game one as a rook. What do you think about if he had the same sort of impact as DJ Jones? How would the Niners feel about that as their second round pick?
Boy, that's a great question, because I think DJ Jones,
yes,
when
sir.
He plays, the 49ers are a little different defensively. Like, how do I want to put this? When the 49ers are at their best defensively, I think DJ Jones is a part of it. And he's been a little hurt over the last couple years. Man, you know what, though? I think with a second-round pick, you maybe want a little more. You want this guy to be a starter for, you know, 7 to 10 years in the league and basically play 90% of the games. I'd say, even though I like DJ Jones, Kyle, I'd want a little more out of Banks. Fair enough?
Yeah. I hate to follow you, Steiny, because what's the best ability? Availability, Dibs. And you're right. When he's on the field, he's productive. But we saw him get hurt not one time, but twice. And this young guy, Banks, I mean, out of Notre Dame, has a chance to be arguably your starting right guard, I believe, if things go well. So I would kind of not want that. You know, my second round pick to endure the injuries that DJ Jones has this early on in his career. So I would go thumbs down to that one.
And I think you're trying to protect Trey Lance, right? If you use a second round pick on a right guard who's just like an okay player, that's what DJ Jones is. He's fine. If Aaron Banks is fine, I think the 49ers have a little bit of a problem, especially considering the other needs they could have addressed at that spot. Aaron Banks needs to be really, really good.
Do they need him to start week one, though, Kyle?
Yes.
Can he be? You don't think that he gets brought along more slowly and he's their sixth offensive lineman to start?
No, that is not a good position for them. You use a second-round pick on a guy, he has to start week one. Because if Daniel Brunskill Brunskill is better than him, you've made a massive mistake with that pick.
Incredible. Let me ask you through this. Last thing about Banks. He allowed 2 sacks in his whole college career. Big deal. All goo, that's just college. Or no, that's why we drafted his ass. I mean, I saw that. Two sacks his whole college career, Steiny. You got to be licking your chops like, or is that college? Let me see him do it up here.
That's a big deal to me because you look at such guys as Mike McGlinchey and Quentin Nelson of recent vintage with the Fighting Irish, and they both had terrific careers at Notre Dame and both have gone on to be, well, Quentin Nelson's the best guard in football, and Mike McGlinchey just got his fifth-year option picked up, so he's a guy who's seen in the same light, Kyle.
Well, and Aaron Banks was awesome, like against Alabama even, who just has NFL players oozing out of its defense. So he's a refrigerator. He's 6'6", 325. He's a monster. They needed to be good.
Is he a road paver?
Yeah, I would call him a mauler in the run game, Steiny.
That's what I'm, yeah. Is he better at pass protection or, run blocker?
He's a better pass blocker than a run blocker, but he's good at both.
And the key is, can he block in the zone blocking scheme? Because we know that's what Kyle likes to run. It's not the man-on-man straight ahead. It's being able to move laterally. So that's something to watch as we get into OTAs and camp. We are looking back at the 2017 Niner draft and relating it to this year's draft. And I guess, Kyle, if we're going to pick the third Niner from that draft, we probably look at Akello Witherspoon, a bit of an up and down career. Would you take him third in that 2017 draft?
Boy, that's great question.
Thank you. It's solid.
Kyle Roy.
Threes, fours? Right, oh, sweet.
Four.
Thanks,
threes
guys.
And fours. Yeah.
Yeah, it's probably Witherspoon. I was a little surprised they let him walk, and shocker, he went to Seattle. But he was up and down, but his highs were really high, but his lows were also really low. So I think he is the clear-cut third pick for me here.
So, Trey Sermon is the third pick this year by the 49ers. He joins a fairly crowded stable of running backs. Can Trey Sermon have as good of a first 4 years in his career as Akello Witherspoon did?
Hell yes, and no hate toward Witherspoon. This dude Sermon, he can tote the rock, and now he's toting it behind a line that can get busy. So hell yes, I would take that over what Witherspoon has given the Niners. And Kyle was right; it was up and down. This dude's better than that, Dib. So I'm going no way to Witherspoon. We want more than that.
I'm taking it, Dibs, because the 49ers have made it official; they're running back by committee. So you just want this guy to be available and carry the ball 10 times a game. I actually have a football question that I was hoping somebody could help me with. And what I mean Dibs or Kyle usually. All right, so the 49ers utilize a zone blocking scheme for their running backs, correct?
Yes.
Okay. I remember back maybe 5 years ago when the Raiders changed from changed to a zone running scheme, and it really affected Darren McFadden. You remember that?
Yeah.
But I thought it was because it's up to the running back to make a read off what the blocking is doing. When I think of the 49ers, I think of Mostert, and I think, doesn't he hit the hole right away? I mean, isn't that what his strength is?
There's two different things at play, because he hits the hole quickly, but it's usually not in the A or the B gap straight ahead, where in the man-to-man scheme, it's my guy against your guy straight in front of you, and we're going to create a little crease either off the tackle or in the interior, even on the edge occasionally. With the zone, it's more of a read from the blockers and the running back, to where the running back is reading what the blockers are doing, and as soon as the blocks are being made, then the running back plants his foot and hits the hole. At that point, it's more of a read and react, whereas man-to-man is more straight power to the hole right away.
So Mostert's actually reading and reacting?
Yes, and with his top speed being among the fastest in the NFL, when he gets to that hole, if you're doing your job as a blocker, you'll notice that a good guard hits his first block and then gets to the second level. So you squeeze off the defensive lineman, then you get to the linebacker, and by the time you get to the linebacker, if your running back's already hit the hole, that's when big plays happen.
So it has nothing to do with how fast the runner gets to the line of scrimmage after he gets the handoff.
No, not necessarily. It's just, can you find the right lane and then hit that lane aggressively, which is what Mostert's really good at. I just want everybody to know that Dan Dibley, who's talking about A gaps and B gaps and all this jazz, made fun of me the other day for saying off-platform throw.
And then,
same guy.
off platform, off schedule. And then what did I do, Kyle? I promptly used it less than 30 minutes later. It's what you do. You mock and then you steal.
I know.
Mock and steal.
Okay.
Mock and steal.
And I'll tell you what I'm really looking for right here is, it's a pretty good question, Steiny.
Boy.
It is. No. That was a good question.
You could have played Madden and you could have found that out, Steiny.
Oh, man. And shots fired.
That gives
what I meant for Kyle and Dibs. Like, I couldn't have gave him that answer.
No, I'm with you. That felt a little personal. Nothing I could do but
whatever.
Answer Goo.
Whatever.
Goo, come on. Goo, listen, we all have our strengths and weaknesses. I'm not an X and O guy. You know that.
That was basic, though. That's all I'm asking you. The zone blocking scheme.
Spadoni, did you take offense to that? I was going to actually ask Spadoni because I remember that specifically.
Don't bring me into this.
Darren McFadden.
Right, Kyle. You're not into Spadoni. Go ahead, Stoddy.
You know what?
We feel how we feel.
I find your lack of faith disturbing.
Here's one thing I don't understand. Why do the Warriors, shouldn't they run elevator doors more? Why don't they run elevator? Can you explain elevator door? I wouldn't do that.
Yeah. I'll pass.
Thank you. That's a play.
I could have broke it down for you, but I don't want to. That's where I'm at. Yeah,
anyway, we're reviewing the 2017 draft in light of the 2021 draft. And with the next pick, we're going to keep this convenient. We're going to go Solomon Thomas from the 2017 draft. Forget that he was drafted number 3 overall. Just look at his 48 games of work with the Niners and compare him to the round 3 pick, the cornerback out of Michigan, Ambry Thomas, who started all 13 games in 2019, but opted out last year. Goo, if you got a corner for 48 of the next 68 games, what do you think about that for this third-round pick out of Michigan?
I feel like we failed, and I feel like that would be a miss, fellas. And 48, 28, I mean, give me 60 out of 68, and then we got something, Stoney. But 48 out of 68, that's telling me we can't count on you. And then when you're out there, you're not that big of a difference maker, so I'm a pass on that. I don't like that. I want him to be better.
I think I got a pass corner there, too, just knowing that even when – how many games out of how many games did Solomon Thomas play?
He played 48 out of 64. Out of 64 because it was, 4 years. But.
And it sure sounds to me like of the 48 he played, 44 he stunk. So at least to hear 49er fans tell it. So, no, I would think you'd want to get more – production out of the cornerback.
Always interesting about the quote "he stunk" angle because he was drafted at number 3. If he was, a second round or a third round pick, or even if he was taken at 31 like Reuben Foster, would 49er fans feel differently about a guy who he didn't flash, he wasn't great, but often he wasn't terrible. He was just there but overdrafted. And I hate to always disparage Mike Dunleavy Jr., but you look at Dunleavy Jr.'s career, he had a good career.
Right.
But because he was drafted number 3, that's why people look down upon him as opposed to if he was drafted in the second round.
Real quick, Dibs, the guy who intrigues me is a guy like Reuben Foster. All right, you get Reuben Foster, and he is phenomenal when he plays. Then he's got some issues. Like, do you hold that against – is that a good pick or bad pick? Kind of in your mind.
It's a bad pick because the red flags were there. And it's one thing if you draft a player like Chris Borland, taken by the 49ers, has a great rookie year and then says, you know what, football's not for me. I'm out.
Right.
Well, that you couldn't have foreseen that. When Reuben Foster has problems, he blows up over a medical at the combine. He shows you that maybe he's got some challenges off the field and you still trade up to pick him. Well, then that goes on your loss column, in my opinion.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
And you didn't just lose on the field. You lost with the fan base, too. Like, why would you ignore those transgressions he had, Dib? So, that was a double-edged sword where you lost, production and in the community.
And you're getting down to the bottom of the barrel here with that 2017 draft. Guys, we haven't talked about C.J. Beathard, who, he started, played 19 games for you. He did what he could in a role that he probably wasn't suited for. Trent Taylor, who was underwhelmed, and the aforementioned Adrian Colbert. I guess you would hope that the rest of these draft picks had a greater impact than certainly all of those guys.
Yeah. I would agree with that. Although Colbert's still in the league, right? He's producing.
Yeah. Yeah.
But he's could never get, he's like Jalen Hurd, just injury prone. They could never, you know, get right and get on the field. It's funny how these top athletes are like thoroughbreds, Dibs. I'm going Kentucky Derby. But yet when you have that injury history, some just can't shake it to where it's not you didn't have a talent. You just couldn't stay healthy to go display the talent. And that happens more than you think, man. Guys that just get robbed of that.
And to wrap this up, we'll go to our draft expert, Kyle, who is brilliant. Of the fifth and sixth round players, Jalen Moore, Diamador Lenoir, Talanoa Tufanga, I hope I got that right. I didn't have your pronouncer in front of me. And Elijah Mitchell, who are you most excited about, Kyle? Give me on your guometer. I'm excited. Who excites you of those last four guys?
Eli Mitchell does, because I think he is a lot like Raheem Mostert in that he's big, he's fast, he averaged 4 yards after contact, which is insane, and now he's going to an offense where he's going to be able to get 4 yards before contact on some of these carries. So I'm excited to see the kind of home run hitter he can be. And then the other guys, I think, are going to be reserves for year one. Although I think Talanoa Hufanga is going to be...
That's who I like.
He's super fun, dude. He's going to be like one of those special teams guys that like the hipster fan is going to have his jersey because he's just around for a decade as an awesome special teams player.
I'm hella excited
for guys like that.
You got that Hufanga jersey, don't you?
Yeah, I do. I bet he wears number 43.
Okay.
Book it.
Oh, boy.
Nice.
Put in the cap.
Ronnie Lott plus one.
That's good. I like that, Dibs. Great idea.
I was thinking this morning about, hey, let's grade the draft. And I actually got sick to my stomach a little bit because, honestly, you know, Hufanga, I give him a C-plus for that pick. I like the pick. Get out of here, all of you.
I like the player.
All of you pretenders.
Milk,
I mean,
hyper.
I've seen every snap of Hufanga three times.
I brought that out to do it that way. But it wasn't, I'm going to be a know-it-all and tell you about the player, Stein.
I know.
I was kind of grace to the areas that the team addressed. Remember how I told you guys a couple weeks ago, what are the Niner weaknesses? But you find that out by the way they draft. So that's where I was going, because this is all hopeful, but this was dope. Dibs, you clever.
No, I agree with you, Goo.
I like it.
I agree with you. I mean, you needed offensive line, you got a couple guys. You needed corner, you got a couple guys. You traded up to get a quarterback, and you got the quarterback that everybody wanted. And you threw in a couple of running backs for good measure. So I agree with you. And now, did they get the right players at the right positions? None of us know. I gave him a C+. Get out of here.
Thank you.
Todd.
One more thing. Undrafted free agents went undrafted for a reason. All right. Mm. Stop saying that you're super amped about this undrafted free agent. It's awesome. The guy's name is Austin Watkins that the 49ers are going to sign.
Out of
what school did he go to again, Steiny?
He went to
You got to Google it.
Alabama, Birmingham.
No, that's exactly what he said.
Gene Bartow.
You said UAB. Specifying for the listener.
Hey, Kyle. I was going to ask, did Little Low get drafted? Did Little Low? Because we had Low on. No, okay. But his dad has, I don't want to say because his son's got the talent. He's got the resources to set up, you know what I'm saying, Steiny, a workout.
I think he'll get invited. I mean, he'll get invited somewhere.
Okay.
Like,
it's
got to be like the NBA draft, where the minute the draft is over, your personnel people start calling guys who weren't drafted, saying, "Would you like to come in and try to get a spot?"
Mm-hmm.
So, Lowe's kid's not—he's not done yet by a long shot.
No, and if by chance is, and I hope he gets a fair crack at it. He's got, I believe, an engineering degree from Purdue University. So the kid did it right. He's a smart young man, and he's got that piece of paper. So as a, quote, fallback plan, he's going to be in a good spot. I'm hoping for him, though. I'd be excited to see the man they call Little Low, who's got, a lot bigger than his father. I'd love to see him out there playing.
Quick, Stadia Dibs, I saw this piece. I think I may have told you it was NFL legends. The Suns may go pro. And the list was ballers. You know, they had other guys out there. Deion Sanders, his son maybe. They had Lorenzo Neal. I'm like, they just my coworker. That's my friend. That's my fullback.
Anyway,
root for Lolo.
It's Steiner.
I always find it fascinating to see kids of – of pros who make the pros, man, like what they're all about. You know, like on face level, Steph Curry, like, shouldn't be the killer he is. You know what I mean? Because his dad, you know, he grew up in a real nice house. He didn't want for anything, went to a private school. But that doesn't matter. He's a killer. You know what I mean?
But last night they showed, real quick, Vince Carter showed, you know, his son, Steph Curry, at the Toronto Raptor game shooting threes at his age. Dibs, they were like, that's kind of far. So to me, it was almost like, I hear you, Steiny, about the want and the quote-unquote silver spoon, but Curry was working as a youngster, Dibs. And now, yeah, look, it was incredible.
Well, even when he was putting in work at Davidson, averaging 24 and 25 his last 2 years, there still were some doubters until, you know, even when he got drafted by the Warriors, there were some people, oh, he's not going to be physical enough. And, you know, it kind of evolved. And the work he's put in is the reason why he's attained the great heights. Man. Not only because he has great genes with his mom and his dad, or his dad and his mom, would be the appropriate way to say it, but he put the work in. And I was just trying to think about some of the great sons in the National Football League. Obviously, Peyton Manning would probably be in the George Washington spot of Mount NFL Sunmore. His dad, of course, Archie Manning, second reference. But who else do you think of? Just great sons of pros who've gone on to be elite players in their own right.
And this just any sport or association?
NFL, yeah. I was just thinking about, no, not the association, but the National Football League, because we were talking about, you know, sons and Lowe Jr. and all that.
Man, I'm stumped.
All I got is the Mannings. Elway, well, his dad, we didn't play.
Yeah.
Wow, man. Crickets. Give me the crickets.
Give me the crickets is right.
What up, Nash? Look at my point guard. Yeah. Oh, man.
I mean, I'm sure we're missing some. Here, let me jump to the text line. They're really quick on this. Yeah, they don't have anybody either.
You got to Google it.
Never mind. Yeah. Never mind. But, no, that's good stuff, Dibs. Good stuff. Should we go out with a couple great calls, big shots?
Yeah. It's a trap.
Skywalker. How much we got here, Joe? Three? We got three, right? I can't see you, but
yeah.
Okay, from the 650. How about Christian Laettner against UConn back in the day? Hit it.
There's the pass to Laettner. Puts it up. Yes!
Wow, Vern Lundquist from CBS. It was actually against Kentucky.
That's right. What'd I say, UConn? Yeah.
Yeah.
My bad.
Yeah. And here's some advice to all you young coaches out there who are listening. Guard the inbounder. Don't give him a free pass, because that Grant Hill had a clean look at it. Granted, it was a 60-foot dime, and Laettner with the catch and the little hezzy shoulder fake,
shot,
and then the spin left right shoulder spin drilled it. And by the way, that was one of the great games too in college history. That was a thriller even before that moment. But that. Thank you. That definitely
Laettner
belongs
used to get
on
hated
there.
On, guys. Yeah, he got hated on.
He still does.
Yeah?
There's a documentary called I Hate Christian Laettner.
Yeah, Luke Skywalker also got hated on by his adoptive parents, you know, when he wanted to go get power converters. And
boy.
You know, he didn't want to have – he was running errands for his adoptive foster parents.
From the 415, Dibs, remember when Phi Slamma Jamma got beat by North Carolina State? Hit it, Spadown.
Yes, he's three guards in there now, as Gannon's in there with Wittenberg and Lowe.
Down to 25 seconds, dangerous pass.
This is a really interesting strategy by Houston. They're aggressive now, not staying back.
Well, remember, they have Akeem in there to block anything that goes inside. Down to 14 seconds.
Oh, almost stolen by Drexler. Boy, is he good at
that. They've got a drive to the basket. It's down to 7 seconds.
You can see the time. Wittenberg. Oh, it's a long ways.
They won it.
Man.
Wow, man.
Billy Packer wrong about three times in that last 25 seconds, by the way.
I think Gary Bender on the call as well from CBS. That to me, I mean, that's a great play at the cup, but he caught an air ball. This is not, you know, it's not the same as Luke firing into the Death Star in a one.
They weren't
supposed to
win, Dibs. They weren't supposed to win that game. That's all.
Yeah,
Cinderella.
I get that.
All right, Damon, Ratto, and Kolsky next, but we're going to take you out with the one you just talked about. Thanks for listening, everybody.
You're all clear, kid. Now let's blow this thing and go home.
Remember, the Force will be with you.